All right, into the 11 o'clock hour on this Friday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Steven Serta with you. Coming up at 11:30, our Chiefs red half hour. What exactly is Chris Jones seeking as we get closer and closer to that July 15th deadline? And there's a lot of rookies still unsigned, including Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Why might that be the case? We'll explore that coming up during the Chiefs red half hour. We're also a few minutes away from over-unders heading into the weekend. We had mentioned way back at the beginning of Chris Sims' top 40 NFL quarterbacks that he does each and every year that, okay, we can really fast forward. We know who number one is going to be. It was going to obviously be Patrick Mahomes, and it was, but he's now concluded the entire list, and there's some interesting ones on there we'll explore in a second, but yes, Mahomes was one, and Russell Wilson was two. Anybody could have guessed, and that would be, I think you could go survey 1,000 people, and 99.9% of them, I feel like,
I don't
would
think
have
be quite that high.
I feel like would have Mahomes and Russell Wilson one and two like that.
I don't think they should.
I don't feel like there's much debate to be had between those top two.
I don't think so. There are people who
it gets interesting
rank
after
Russell
that.
Wilson differently than that.
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson is.
I think
far
he's
and
fairly
away the
obvious
best.
The second best quarterback
yeah.
in
and
NFL.
And just
right
like
now,
Mahomes is very obviously the best quarterback in football. So Chris Sims was going through, he spent the last month doing this top 40, and it's something he does each and every summer. And, well, with Mahomes being number one, here's what he said about Patrick.
There is no weakness to Patrick Mahomes' game right now. There's none. I don't care. There's literally nothing. I can say
the fact that he falls away, kind of falls back, doesn't set his feet.
And when he starts missing the target, then I'll start complaining about it. Right. But it doesn't matter. He hits the target. I've never seen anybody like it in my life. You know, just... You know, again, yeah, you'd like it from the quarterback school standpoint of him being a little bit more strict technique-wise, but it's what makes him him. And he certainly, when the technique is right, I mean, come on, it's a walk in the park. But it's, you know, to what you're, you know, it's the Super Bowl throw. Oh, it's, you know, a 14-yard drop off his back foot and then a 55-yard throw. Like, what? Don't do that, but, you know, it doesn't matter for him. It's on the screws almost every time he does it. So that's where it's special. I mean, he's truly a special, special talent.
Of course. And we've how many times have we said he's got more highlights in 1 year or certainly the first 2 years as starting quarterback than some guys ever have in their career? Like the highlight package is whoever has to one day when it's time for him to go into Canton, Ohio, someone that has to edit down into like a 2.5 minute montage of the best plays of Mahomes' career. Good luck. Good luck doing that. It'd be extremely challenging to do. He's already got more than most people would have. Biggest stage, biggest plays.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that you can't complain about some of the stuff. You know, like you can't. But there's.
But Chris Sims said it. Tell
if
me
it
when
stops
he's not
working, then we can have these conversations.
Until then, though, who cares? As he said, who cares about being off balance or whatever it may be at times? It's not going to matter one bit. He did continue as well talking about Mahomes.
He's got one of the greatest hands, what I would call. Me and my dad call it a hand. You know, one of the greatest hands I've seen in the history of the game at the quarterback position. What I mean by that is just his ability to flick it. It just looks like he's flicking. Oh, there's people around me. Oh, I got to throw a fade. Yeah, my mechanics aren't perfect, but I just got great feel for the ball in my hand. And he throws it like that. And you're just like, what? Is he throwing that? Or what the hell is he doing? But, oh, it doesn't matter. It's on the money. Let's keep moving and talk about something else. You know, he's amazing like that. He really is.
So it turned into like a 2.5-3 minute long love fest for Patrick Mahomes from Chris Sims, who all along everybody knew that was going to be the top of his list, which is why the rest of the list is where it was – far more interesting than just at the top of the list. Like they honestly should have probably done it in reverse order. Normally you go 40-1. They should have gone 1-40 because I think it was actually more interesting with some of the stuff that happened later than what happened at the front. Now, with that said, there was one top five quarterback that I don't think is a top five quarterback at this point in his career. He can very easily get back to that. And that's Aaron Rodgers. He had Aaron Rodgers at number 3 in his top 40 quarterbacks in the National Football League. And while he's certainly still a top 10 quarterback, and I would argue probably a top 8 quarterback, he hasn't been a top 3 quarterback in football the last couple of seasons. I think he can regain that perhaps. And during the draft, we talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers and the lack of weapons that they surround him with and all that, but he's not a top 3 quarterback in football right now. That was the first one at the beginning of the list where I said, oh, wait a second. It took to get to number 3 to find it. So not far And that was my biggest issue in the top 10 that I had.
Out of the top 10? Yeah, probably. I mean, the order I would probably personally shift around. Like you said, I wouldn't have Aaron Rodgers 3 anymore either. And then there are times, as much as I love Deshaun Watson's game, that I still want to see him be at another level. I don't know if that's a fair, like,
is that just because you've been watching a lot of Mahomes and those guys were in this, if people tried to compare them for the longest time, and obviously now there's the separation is clearer than ever.
No, it's not even necessarily about that, you know, and obviously, you know, you could look up Russell Wilson's numbers and they would be better than his. And we're saying he's a better quarterback. I would just say that the full 2 years we've gotten of Deshaun Watson have been pretty statistically similar to what we saw in like the final 2 years of Alex Smith in Kansas City. Averaged about 3,900 yards between the 2 years, 3,900 to 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns each of the last two seasons, and averaged about 11 picks. Like, it's good. It's really good. I mean, you take that most of the time, but it's still, like, for me, I think he should be the fourth best quarterback. It might just be other people holding him back right now, as in Bill O'Brien. I'm not saying it's, like, way off base. I just do wonder sometimes about, like, where are his big numbers eventually going to come? Like, I've seen Carson Wentz put up slightly bigger numbers than that, right? I've seen Lamar Jackson's obviously put up a huge year, statistically, both, you know, rushing.
MVP for a reason.
Yes. But I feel like Deshaun Watson needs to enter that conversation. Like, you need to be in an MVP conversation at some point if you're going to be a top five quarterback in the NFL. Carson Wentz, although he got hurt, was in an MVP conversation. He also had more yards.
I mean, you could make the case now it was not as long of a streak. Like, Carson Wentz had the longer end, but Deshaun Watson, though, his rookie season, it was only four games before. Remember, he was having the start to his season before he got hurt.
It was insane.
Mahomes was having, back to Mahomes' first year, and then he got hurt, and hasn't had that stretch of games since then. But he's...
Yes. But
that was the closest to an MVP type of run that he had been on.
Carson Wentz had the same number of yardage, more touchdowns, less interceptions. Last year! Than Deshaun Watson. He also has a 33 touchdown season with 7 interceptions. He only played in 13 games that year. So like that's the part where like I personally might have Carson Wentz above Deshaun Watson. I'd probably flip those down a couple of notches.
I wouldn't.
And it's not second. No, just nothing. No, is it just Bill O'Brien?
I'm a Carson Wentz defender. I think Carson Wentz is a really, really talented quarterback. But I'm not convinced that we haven't seen the best version of Wentz in year two that we saw, which is generally when...
That's his maxed out version.
Well, you generally see quarterbacks take their biggest leap from year one to year two. And we saw that with Carson Wentz prior to his injury. I don't think we've seen the best version of Deshaun Watson yet because Deshaun Watson does not get put in the best situation by Bill O'Brien.
But is he going to get any better?
Yeah, from year one to year two, he was pretty much the same quarterback.
If you gave Deshaun Watson Doug Peterson, I think he would be a lot better.
That's what I'm saying, though. Is it going to get any better?
Because he's
going to
be stuck with Bill O'Brien.
Right, and that's the issue. Clearly, Deshaun Watson hasn't had the best situation out of the group there, and Carson Wentz has one of the more genius offensive minds in football in Doug Peterson. But what's going to change for Watson? Bill O'Brien, unless they win 4 or 5 games this year, Bill O'Brien, at this point in time, the ownership loves him. He's the general manager. Like fans,
he's not going anywhere.
Fans may not like him, right? He's on thin ice with fans. He's been there, but if the ownership likes him, he's fine. I just don't know what's going to change for Deshaun Watson scenario to where we can say we haven't seen the best of him, but what's going to bring out the max Deshaun Watson? They lost DeAndre Hopkins.
I don't know.
It got worse.
The best case scenario is that the Texans are awful this year and they go like 4-12 and fire Bill O'Brien.
And that's what it would take.
I mean, or he just takes, a back-to-back franchise tag situation and gets himself the hell out of there.
Yeah, there was a report today that he's looking at a 3-year contract extension right now. So I don't know.
And a lot of quarterbacks are looking at the 3-year because they don't want to sign for too long because they want to, again, hit that next big TV bubble. Like if the money goes flat this year, they're trying to hit when the new TV dollars come in. And the cap takes that shot up. And some players would be smart to start figuring out a way to work their contract where you can't be franchise tag. The rest of the list, I mean, Lamar Jackson, the top 5, he was last year's MVP.
Yep.
Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Stafford,
the
top 10. I probably have those conversations, although I think Kyler Murray is going to enter that chat very quickly, and I wouldn't have Ryan Tannehill 11. But the list isn't a disgrace. He obviously favors it towards the young quarterback. Because Tom Brady's 15, Breeze is 16, Roethlisberger somehow ahead of both of those at 14, which makes no sense to me. So there's always going to be issues, and I wouldn't have Jimmy Garoppolo below Derek Carr either. And I am no Jimmy Garoppolo defender. So
I mean, one of the more interesting ones, though, to me was a free agent. Cam Newton's 10. Cam Newton's 10 on this list, and nobody has brought him in.
Cam Newton's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, isn't he?
And nobody has brought him in. When healthy, he's a top 10 quarterback. That's the only thing I can point to. Why is he not on a team? It is teams really have plenty of doubts about if they'll ever see the same Cam Newton again.
Yeah.
Because, that has to be it. That's it. Because, yes, when he is healthy, which has been a while, he is a top 10 quarterback. No question. But I just don't think he is healthy. But Chris Sims has still put him at 10. I'm assuming he's putting a healthy Cam Newton at 10, okay? That's the problem. He's not a healthy Cam Newton by all accounts right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's difficult to say, but I don't...
I mean, if he was healthy, why would the team not have brought him in?
When Cam... I mean, I would love to ask myself that question about a lot of players across the NFL.
But there's not the same... I mean, we know the answer on Kaepernick. Why? There's not that with Cam Newton. It has to be injuries.
You would think that that's the current issue, or that he's demanding enough money that it's a difficult decision for some of those teams. But I think it's also because there are less openings at the quarterback position than there have been in the league in a very long time. We looked at that not that long ago. It's not a lot of teams out there shopping for quarterbacks right now.
Right, but Andy Dalton's the backup now in Dallas. I mean,
totally. But it was way more obvious Andy Dalton was going to end up being a backup somewhere. Cam Newton, who I do think is significantly better than Andy Dalton at this stage of their career.
Joe Flacco's backing up Sam Darnold, isn't he?
Yes, but again, probably money. I don't think it's all health. I think there's a money element to all of this, too. And some teams, for whatever reason, we had this conversation with Cap the other day, are afraid to actually have someone to compete against their quarterback. They're afraid to let Cam Newton go in practice against Sam Darnold because after the players see the difference between the two, after a couple of weeks, they're going to be like, what the hell are we doing? Why are we letting this dude throw to us when Cam Newton could be slinging it? And we've seen what his upper end potential is. Yeah, let's do that. That's the problem, is that teams are afraid of that dissension.
I just think it's clear that teams are trying to get Cam at a discount the way Jameis Winston came at a huge discount, because you could argue that he's not a starting quarterback, even though I think Jameis should be a starting quarterback, too.
Same. But maybe he's not willing to
take. Feels like, we talk about all the time about coronavirus and guys getting on quarantine list. This is, it's week one of the season, and a team knows that they've got their quarterback out for 2 weeks, and they bring in Cam then, or it's in training camp if there's other
injuries.
They're
just going to wait to bring in Cam until somebody gets coronavirus.
So. I mean, maybe so. I mean, it might be headed in that direction. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, what Chris Jones is seeking before that July 15th deadline. Let's get to some over-unders, though. Heading into the weekend. All right, Serta, what do we got?
20 and a half games the Royals have with fans in the stands.
Ooh. And they're already talking about it. So Dave mentioned the end of spring training.
I'm going to go under, though. I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I think it's still overly
30 is the max, so.
I know.
I mean, I got to go under.
It's still overly optimistic, I think, that you think you're going to have a fan in the stands at all. I mean, the Giants said today they're out.
But each city, as we know.
I know it's going to be different, but that's the first team to fully bow out of fans in the stands this year.
I'm not surprised. I mean, we do have to realize geographically where it's at. It is in the state of California. And I'm not surprised that San Francisco's done it. It'll be interesting to see what the Oakland Athletics decide to do, and the Anaheim or LA Angels decide to do as well. So that's going to be interesting. But yeah, I think I got to go under on that. I'm trying to think what the number would be for me to even take the over. It might have. I mean,
10.5.
It might have to be. It might
five
have to be 10.5.
Why would they even have fans saying it's going to be five games at the end of the year?
Well, because they tried and then they realized the number spot. Like, I can see it beginning of the season start that way.
Oh,
and then
coming back?
Maybe so.
I'll take the under, although I'm starting to feel like there might be fans.
The minute a team has fans in the stands, let's say it's baseball, it's opening day, and then 3 days later it's reported that there was an outbreak of out of the 5,000 fans, 100 of the fans tested positive, then teams may shut her down at that point, or the city may shut it down at that point in time.
6.5 days until the NFL bars practices versus tell Tom Brady he probably shouldn't practice.
Well, this is now he continues to practice.
They're not
going to
say anything to him. Over. Over.
There's going to let him practice all the way up to it.
The NFLPA just suggested they stop doing it.
They came out with
these. Should the NFL just say stop doing it, or we'll penalize you?
Over. Until that happens, and then they're not going to. He's not going to stop.
He's definitely not going to stop.
But the NFL's never going to say stop.
Why?
Because they want players to practice.
Oh, God, it's the worst. You're totally right. They want to appear on the right side by saying don't do it. And then like, hey, but Tom Brady's doing it. Like, well, we told him not to do it. And then secretly behind the closed door, like, yes, Brady's practicing. We're so happy.
Sure, I'm sure Bucks fans are thrilled that he's practicing.
It's so dark. Yeah, it's actually kind of split. There are some Bucks fans who prefer he didn't because they don't want him to catch coronavirus and then miss games.
Yeah, but he's not fearful. Remember the FDR quote he sent out, which is so ridiculous. First, so ridiculous.
FDR
yes,
caught polio.
Correct.
So what? That's a terrible person to use as an example.
Yeah, that's the quote he used.
Of a quote in that.
And that's who he
Nothing
used.
Nothing to fear but fear itself is an awful quote. He had polio.
That's just absolutely ridiculous.
Like, quote Churchill or something. Yeah, there's other quotes about not having fear.
Yeah, because that virus cares about your fear or bravery.
There's no fear. Church thinks he's immune to it because of deep tissue massages at the TB12 facility.
Remember, he's trying to sell these pills that he claims helps your immune system.
I got to be honest.
Through his TB12 program.
I am stunned that no fear t-shirts haven't come back in style. Do you guys remember those from the 90s?
No fear t-shirts.
You don't remember those no fear t-shirts? Be like, nope, it had all the writing on it. I cannot be the only person to remember no fear t-shirts.
No, but I remember. No fear.
They used to come with like tech decks.
Yes, totally. I'm stunned. Those kids around the baseball complexes when I was a kid wore those all the time.
Like, I'm looking at an early 90s shirt. That's why I don't know what it is. I was like 3 years old.
No fear.
If it were just about attitude, everyone would have it.
He should have just quoted that instead of FDR. That would have been better.
What else?
This one right here.
Yeah.
Do not play well with others. It seems others have a problem with losing. I 1,000% had that shirt. 1,000% owned it.
59 and a half MLB games played out of 60.
So basically, do you think they're having a full season or not? Oh man, could we see a week where they stop and then do they start it again? I'll go over. I think I've said over and over that baseball is going to have a season because I don't see, based off of the replacement pool players you're going to go through. Yeah, I'll go over. Yeah, I'll go over on this. They're going to have a full 60-game season.
I don't see them shutting down games. I mean, I think it depends on responsibility. You know, we've got a lot of people out here saying, if you don't take care of it, we're not going to have sports. But I don't know. I guess I still assume we're just going to have sports because there's no indication we're not going to at this point.
3.5 High Noons gold consumes this weekend.
Did you buy more?
If you remember earlier in the week, I mentioned that I had a confession there that's one of my new favorite drinks all of a sudden. If I don't feel like drinking beer out in the 90-degree weather, High Noons is perfect for it. I do not have currently in the fridge any. None. Just keep that in mind.
I'll go under then.
Yeah.
I feel like you like to mix it up.
I usually do. I'll go beer for a while, and I'll go with a little seltzer. I'll mix it up. Last weekend with seltzer. I'm gonna go ahead and say under as well. I don't know if I'll have any this weekend because I'm off a couple days next week. During the 4th of July weekend, I think a couple will be consumed. This weekend, probably more of a beer weekend. So I'm telling you basically to take the under on this. I don't think I'm going to have any. I don't have any in the fridge right now either.
I guess
went through them last week.
Just take the under.
A listener DM'd me, though, with a photo saying they had tried it and thanked me for it. They loved it. So there you go.
Good for
Suggestions.
You.
Suggestions. That's over under heading into the weekend. We'll get to our Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up in 10 minutes. Okay.
Someone said they had a giant No Fear logo on their car.
With a snake curled up, Marie,
I definitely had
no
a couple
shirt.
Of the shirts.
I never
owned any of those.
Oh, they were super. People did put those like their logo was like eyes or whatever.
Yes.
You know, and people did put those on their cars or bike or backpacks or whatever when we were kids. That was like right in my wheelhouse.
You should put one on your old school leather. I don't even
it
know
wouldn't really
bag
fit.
That you had. This thing looks like it is from 1995.
Satchel?
Yeah.
1995? That looks like it's more like from the 30s than it does.
I don't
the
know.
90s.
Cody's got a leather satchel that he brings in every day with his.
My wife got me this like years ago, maybe five years ago.
It's held up.
Well, I had been using my backpack, but you know, I wanted to switch back to my much nicer bag.
There you go. All right. So I don't know. Everybody probably has an example of like where they, you know, the worst place or the place that they maybe even found their spouse, right? Maybe they met their spouse at that point or just simply picked up somebody and got their number and ended up on a date. There's some areas that are better than others, correct? So my sister brought this to my attention yesterday. She apparently was getting her hair done at a salon yesterday, realized she's getting her hair highlighted, okay? So she's got a mask on in general for COVID, and she's got her hair down. She's got foil in the hair, like all that kind of stuff. She sent me a photo of this. Apparently, some guy was getting his hair cut a couple seats down. He gets done. He gets up, and she thought jokingly was just like, hey, how do I look? And the stylist and her are like, oh, you look great, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Being nice, move on, right? Then the guy proceeds to say, you're the most beautiful person I have ever seen. Again, reminder, she's got a mask on. You can't even see her face. You can't see any of this. So he says that, whatever. She kind of giggled and moved on and thought the guy was just trying to be funny. The guy proceeds to say, yeah, I'm dead serious about this. You are the most beautiful person I've ever seen. He goes, would you like to grab some coffee? She says, well, with COVID, I don't want to grab any coffee. Really not going on dates right now. He then goes, well, can I just have your number still? She proceeds to say, yeah, I'm good. Just shot him down. There's four other people, including the stylist in this salon.
Could apparently be worse, I guess.
This is
people have suffered worse embarrassment.
Just shot him down. And then he said, well, okay. And walked away. So first of all, yeah, she's brutal. Just shot him down. Two.
That's
fair. What is this guy? That's just creepy. I feel like.
No, good for her. Bleep that guy.
First, don't approach women and say they're beautiful. And when they give you the soft no, that's their way.
She tried to be nice, I think.
She gave him the soft no. He should have just taken that as the hint to ditch. I will give him credit for taking the shot, even though she wasn't in her best state. But he felt like, you know, her hair's all nuts and she's wearing a mask. He hasn't gotten the full picture, and he's still like, look, I'm still interested.
Well, that's why. Why do you even make that comment? You hadn't even, maybe, unless he saw her walking in, hadn't even seen her
face.
That's
where the
or
most
anything.
Beautiful thing rings hollow. But if he was like, how do I look? And she's like, great. He's like, I bet it's going to turn out, like, looks like your hair's going to turn out great too. We should go get a coffee. That would at least be a little less aggressive. But I'm with Serta. She 1,000% had every right to shoot that dude down.
I mean, I thought it was hilarious last night when she was telling me the story. I was like, wow. I was like, damn, okay. Wow, that's how you're operating.
I mean, I don't know that
where's the worst place? Yeah, is that...
I don't know, DMV? What would be worse than trying to hit on someone there?
A salon's not high on the list as good places to...
What's the worst place you've tried to hit on somebody?
The worst place I ended up getting a date at was way back in Worlds of Fun, believe it or not. I think
that
on the rapid ride. Somehow I got stuck in one of the... there was an extra spot in our tube, I guess you would call it, or whatever.
Sure.
And we started talking and ended up leading to a date.
See, that's fine. That seems
reasonable. That's not as awkward as someone's getting their hair cut.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's hard to say. I wouldn't think that that's a normal place to try to pick up somebody. I haven't dated in a really long time, so DMV would be a horrible choice. I would not recommend that. Like, if I'm just thinking of places in my own brain, be like that, Denny's? The DMV. I don't think you should bother people while they're eating.
Correct.
You just leave people alone while they're eating. So, I don't know. There's a few places I would not recommend it, that being a few. But again, I don't think somebody should be picking up your sister at the salon either.
I'm actually kind of proud that she said no. Shot him down. Actually kind of made me happy. Because I was like, for a second, did you actually give him your number? Did you say yes? She didn't even know what the guy looked like at all either. So there you go. All right, coming up in 90 seconds, Serta has your fantasy flash on Chicago Bears running back David Montgomery. Plus, what Chris Jones is seeking and why rookies are still not signed during our Chiefs Red Half Hour.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Let's talk some Chiefs for the next half hour. Chris Jones, July 15th, that's been the date that he certainly has had circled, and certainly Chiefs fans have been keeping an eye on. We're getting closer and closer to that. Matt Derrick was on with Will Brinson, his podcast, over at CBS Sports, and mentioned that maybe when you factor in where we're at with the salary cap, that next season for Mahomes, but Chris Jones seeking $21 million per season on a new contract. If it's $21 million, if that's the case, and that sounds about right, considering we had looked at the DeForest Buckner contract that the Colts gave to him after trading with the San Francisco 49ers, if he's seeking $21 million, which puts him in line, right, with the other three highest paid defenders in all of football, you've got, of course, Aaron Donald's making $22.5 million on average per year, and Khalil Mack, $23.5 million, Buckner's really close to that $21 million mark.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds right, and which is why when you start looking at it, and we'll talk more on the Mahomes front here in just a bit, but that's why it seems nearly impossible for me to believe that something happens on the Chris Jones front when you look at that dollar figure. In any other offseason, maybe even on other teams as well, Chris Jones probably would have already gotten paid. But when you factor in the way this roster is constructed, and then you factor in knowing that Mahomes they're trying to take care of as well, oh, and the loss of revenue that potentially is coming, or is coming, not potentially, it is coming for the National Football League, and how the cap will go, I just don't, all that terrible, all three yep. of those things contributing to why Chris Jones from the Chiefs, I don't believe here in the next, what, 3 weeks, less than that, he's going to get that contract. And $21 million, $20 million, I don't think it really matters whether it was $20 or $21 million. I don't think they're doing it.
They can't afford it. It sucks, but they can't afford it. I wouldn't have said that was the case before it appeared COVID-19 hit and we think salary caps are going down because of limited fan bases. And maybe it'll just stay flat. But a flat cap is really bad for teams who are right up against the cap. You know who's right up against the cap? The Chiefs. You know who will be right up against the cap next year? The Chiefs. You know who will probably be up against the cap the year after that? Probably the Chiefs. Because they're going to pay Patrick Mahomes a whole lot of money, and they should. And they got other high price players too, just like any team would. And they're going to have to, when you're going to be in the Super Bowl contention every year, you're going to ride a fine line going up against it. Which is why, if Chris Jones does still want $21 million, and by the way, he's worth every cent, I still want him here long term. I just don't know how it works financially. If they can make it work, if they got some system, some plan, some way to move people's numbers around that the cap works, I'm still in support of it. But the key for that is, if he wants $21 million a year, I'm not sure he's getting it from any of the top 5 or 10 teams in the league if the cap stays flat. And instead, he'll have to take that money from a team that's what I would call up and coming. Like, he can't immediately go to a contender, which I think would really matter to Chris Jones.
It's interesting because if he plays under the tag this year, and he's been tagged, and July 15th is the deadline to have a long-term deal. If he does that, he plays this year under the tag. Next year, we could go through the same song and dance all over again, potentially. But also, there's a scenario where he might have 2 Super Bowl rings at that point in time. And I wonder, you know, you've already got 1 ring, right? You've won a championship. You might have a second by the time we go through this again next offseason.
At least one, maybe 2.
Are you willing to, at that point in time, truly just go right after the money? Pretty much whoever's paying me the most, I'm going to go there. And I think that's different versus someone that's later in their career. They haven't had a ring, right? You're willing to take less money.
Sure.
There's no reason for one. He's in the middle of his prime, right?
And
this is his biggest
check opportunity.
Next to Aaron Donald, he's the best, you know, the best lineman in football and in the top 4 overall defensive players or so. So, I mean, to me at that point, you mentioned he's not going to go to a top tier team. I don't know if that would matter as much. Yeah, you would prefer to get paid at a top tier team and be able to win a championship there. But if you already got a ring on maybe 2, you're at that point, I feel like wanting just to, hey, whoever's going to pay me the most. And it's just the timing it worked out so poorly for him as timing. We were wondering back in February how the Chiefs could pay Chris Jones pre-COVID, pre-loss of revenue, pre-discussion of cap staying flat, cap decreasing, however that's going to work out. That was already a challenge. Then you add to it, it just didn't work out. I don't expect over the next 2.5 weeks or so for really anything to change on the Jones front.
It's like, I'm just looking through the teams next year. The team with the most cap space is the Colts. I'm sure they'd be happy to have a...
They just paid Buckner, right? Now. You can't tie
so
up that
out.
Kind of money, yeah.
Chargers. And that would call yourself an up-and-coming team.
Yeah,
now, Chris
Herbert.
Jones on the Chargers defense would certainly be a terrifying version of their defense.
The Colts could spend money on that. They've got a ton of young players that are cheap.
But do you, I mean, yeah, they have the money. Do you want to do that?
Do you want to put $200 million on the interior defensive
window
line?
If you get Phillip Rivers for one more year?
Yeah.
But it's not like it's one's an edge rusher and one's interior. That's two.
That would be disruptive, though.
Oh, it'd be like, nasty.
It would be unblockable.
It'd be nasty.
That would be disruptive.
It'd be real nasty.
It would be, I mean, I would consider those things just because if you can't be, here's the thing. We always pretend in the NFL, you know why the Chiefs can't spend $200 million on the line? Because they have an actual quarterback. They have the guy who puts them over the top. They can't be spending $200 million on the defensive line. That's crazy.
Right, but that's
if
even
if you're a team who has Rivers, I think you could do it.
Right, but that's even Frank correct, but that's also here in Kansas City when it's been discussed too. It's like, well, at least Frank Clark is on the edge and Chris Jones is your interior lineman. in the Colts scenario,
it's
DeForest Buckner and Chris Jones. You're not, I mean, it'd be ridiculous, but they're not one, neither is an edge rusher.
No,
so
but both are sack guys. So I think you can make the argument. Like, because there are a lot of interior defensive linemen who do not put up sack numbers, they do. That, to me, is where the difference is. If you lump them, if you can think outside the box and say pass rushers, then you can do it. But then it's the Chargers who would be like, okay, first year of full-time starting of Justin Herbert, or, let's see, the Bengals with Joe Burrow have the fifth most. The Patriots, who might still be with Jared Stidham, could be on that list. And, you know, Tampa Bay Bucks, I guess, at nine, that would be the most ready now team with $56 million in eventual cap space. And it just doesn't, like, the Ravens are 10th. So I'm not saying there are no teams that have that kind of space. But again, being 10th right now is not, it's not going to tell you. It's not going to give you the full picture. It's going to be hard for teams to spend that amount of money. I still think he'll get it. I just think if he has to go outside of Kansas City, which I think he will, then they'll be required to, you know, I think it'll be more like those teams that are what I would consider not quite good enough to be Super Bowl teams. Maybe Chris Jones is the type of player that helps make their defense so elite that it takes him to that level. But in Kansas City, I don't know how the numbers work anymore.
And a lot of it has to do to with the way the offseason is going. And that also leads us into where we're at with rookies in the National Football League. And I think we're seeing this offseason impact that. Tom Pelissero threw something that was really interesting yesterday about the amount of draft picks that are still unsigned. And remember, it's almost July. We're only a couple, you know, we're less than a month or so from camp taking place. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and 185 other draft picks are still unsigned. And as Pelissero pointed out, you've got 29 of the 32 first rounders that still aren't. Some clubs, he says, are continuing to tell agents they're waiting to conduct physicals at club facilities, which are, of course, are barred right now because of COVID-19. This is interesting to me because are teams wanting to make sure the season happens, or is it truly, hey, we need to make sure we get the physical before we're signing you, and that's why we feel confident we're going to be able to get a physical here right before camp starts or whatever it may be? Or
sure,
is there a potential scenario where, let's say, July 25th or whatever, somehow things get way, way worse and the season just doesn't happen, okay? Worst case scenario type of stuff. Well, you drafted them, but you haven't signed to a contract. How does that, what are the rules on rights for players going forward as teams don't want to sign, give someone a signing bonus if the season's not going to happen? Is that why this is being dragged out, or is it just physicals? I think it's probably both. I think, yeah, they haven't been able to get the physicals,
no
doubt.
But what's it matter to get the physical? You're still going to keep the player, aren't you? Like, if they fail a physical at this point, are you not? If Clyde Edwards-Helaire turns out he's got a knee problem, are you not keeping him?
Well, plus, it's not as if they didn't have, for stuff like that, like a knee problem. That stuff was checked out of the combine. They had physicals at the combine.
It's like major physical issues.
It would be if something changed here in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Since they were drafted. I mean, Tua, they checked down in Miami. They checked him out, and they felt confident about him. There, as I mentioned, there's still three first-round picks that have signed. So why did those three teams feel okay with signing their first-rounders?
Because they're just going to sign them anyway. It's slot money. I don't know what's taking so long. These NFL teams.
Which is why I wonder, is it something with the money, though? Not in this physical.
Like, they think they could get him into a four-year, five-year contract that starts next year? Ooh, man. Oh, would they have a fight on the Players Association into that, wouldn't they?
Well, and completely. You waste a year of your shelf life as back or any position, you thought you were going to get, it would be an absolute mess.
As an NFL player, it would be garbage. They'd be holding on to you as a free agent for a whole extra year.
I don't think it ultimately happens, but it's why else are they waiting so long here? What's the holdup with signing? Is it because they know that camp's not going to start on time? I mean, what's the deal here? Why haven't you taken care of some rookies?
Yeah, especially because if there is a year that you do not even want a 30-second delay of getting them into your facility, this is the year, right? So either we're getting ready to go through a huge, because the problem is, you know what happens in these? It's like maybe they're not signing because they're going to try to sneak through this nonsense that players get in fight with every year. Like, what was it, Roquan, who got in that big fight of offset language, and Bosa, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Who got in this big fight about offset language because they're trying to save money for this year because they know there's not going to be fans in the stands, and these are the 29 players that they're going to try to save some of their money and push it into later years? We're not your guinea pigs. We're not going to be the people who save you $50 million across 29 teams because you want us to defer bonuses or offset some of our money until future. No, just pay me and let's move on. I could see it more that way. Like, they're trying to find out the full scale because they're like, hey, you know, maybe, though, you could take some of this money later. I just don't know that.
You mean like, and just in terms, even the signing bonus, just actual cash? Some yes. of these owners with loss of revenue are trying to maybe move around the bonus.
Why do some owners try to squeeze, like, offset language hasn't been in first round picks, contracts, really ever. Top 15, top 20 guys. It doesn't show up in there. And then occasionally some NFL team tries to sneak it through and his agent wisely is like, no. And it's just all about how if a player gets cut in their first 4 years, you know, the amount of money they would be guaranteed, which obviously would matter to any rookie NFL player because you can't be guaranteed money past that. So I could see more teams trying to put those things in place. Now, if it turns out like 27 of these teams try to offer it, I am going to yell collusion into the air so loudly. Like, oh, it's just an accident you all decided to include this contract language.
If that were the case, then it just doesn't incentivize young players to play ball with the team whatsoever.
Nope. And because, then they sit out, and in a year they can re-enter the draft is the way I think it works.
Yeah, but nobody's intentionally sitting down waiting a year because there's so much risk involved.
I mean, if you sit out and then, like, Clyde's not going in the first round again, if he enters the draft next year, he'll still get drafted, and teams will work him out and stuff like that, but he's inevitably going to lose money. So it's a bad look for the NFL more so than it is for the players.
We'll see where this goes. Right now, again, agents are just being told by teams, we want you in. We just can't get you in for a physical. And we'll see, right? We'll find out ultimately what it is. It's just interesting. It's not just four different guys that haven't signed at this point. They're 29 of the first, and just 186 picks in general. That's even so. We're talking about a lot of second rounders, third round, 186 picks, and a majority of the first rounders haven't.
It's interesting. I know that it could just be the physical, but color me skeptical anytime, you know.
I mean, we should have the answer on this in the next
are involved
3 weeks. I mean, you'll be about a week out or so from camp when you get closer to that. I mean, we'll know one way or the other what's really going on. And also, at some point, if you're coaches and teams, you've got to be wondering, like, when can we get this stuff going here a little bit? You got to be putting some pressure on the NFL if you're truly wanting to get these guys in.
Yeah, it's the last thing you want to be worried about.
You want to be now. I know physicals can happen quickly. As soon as they open up, they could be in tomorrow and be done in an hour. Like, I mean, it's not like, oh, it takes a week for this physical to take place. I understand that if camp was set July 28th and they finally open the doors
they have
for
all
physicals,
the agreed upon contract stuff, they're just
very true
rubber stamping it.
Certainly a possibility.
It is such a large swath of players. It does give me some skepticism.
We also know that there were reports from the Kansas City Star that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have already begun a few weeks ago contract negotiations for his next deal heading into this summer. Matt Derrick was on, as I mentioned, with Will Brinson in his podcast, and he had mentioned that when you do throw in where the cap situation is for the Chiefs, for the NFL as a whole, he's feeling like maybe this isn't something that gets done until 2021. We know as far as does it have to be done this offseason? Of course not. They would be fine not having it done before the season. He's under contract. They exercise the option also, which doesn't even factor into this upcoming season. But seeing that they already talked, that report from the Star, I had told you from the beginning that if I'm Mahomes, I don't play until I have a new deal before the start of the season. But what changes everything to, again, is kind of what we said with Chris Jones, is just the cap situation. But if there's somebody that you're going to do everything possible to make sure that you get him taken care of course it's Patrick Mahomes. So it's not the same as directly with the Chris Jones situation by any means, but it's interesting. Does this get pushed back? And is it a scenario where we find out, we were going to get a deal done this offseason, but because of COVID, it's going to get pushed back another year. Does that change the mind frame? I think it's also another reason why. Add to it, why, if you're Mahomes, you want a deal done? You guys have told me over and over there's nothing that can happen this year that would prevent him from ever getting the same amount of money the following season. And I disagree, and I think this, a pandemic, is that reason. If we don't know the long-term health impacts of it. So if a Chiefs player, and in this scenario, it's Patrick Mahomes, gets COVID, we don't know long-term health effects that it has on high-level athletes. Not saying I know either, but you don't know either, right? You don't know the answer to that. We don't know the long-term impact that it has on people's bodies. Yeah, you may recover from it, and he very well will. But we don't know 5 years from now, You don't know 2 years from now what other health side effects come from this. It's a new virus. Nobody knows. So those are the type of things you have to remember in the back of your mind when you're talking about long-term contracts and financial stability. It's not as simple as, oh, well, if he tears an ACL, he'll be fine. They'll still pay him the next year. 100%. Yeah, they would. But you have to think worst-case scenario if you're protecting your investment and investment in yourself, if you're Mahomes. I want a new deal before the season starts, and the pandemic even adds to that.
I still think a deal gets done. I don't. It's... Matt and I are good friends. So it's not, but it is a bit of,
okay.
It's a bit of running the numbers. No, I'm just going to say, but it's posturing a bit. Like I'm not being overly critical, but it is posturing a bit. Like I could see why they might want to wait, not knowing what it is. And there are a lot of things that get in their way of getting the deal done. And they do still have all of this runway. They got a ton of runway time left. Because they got all next year, technically, too. Now, it'd never come down to that. But they've got, you know, they could franchise, whatever it is. They got all the time in the world, technically, to get this deal done.
Yeah, the question's not if it gets done, it's just when. That's the question.
Yes, but for me, I still think you just have to prioritize, because the big downside for the Chiefs in all of this is the longer you wait, he's never getting cheaper. It's another quarterback who signed, who set a different dollar amount to it, that has now pushed your number higher. There is no... Now, he's going to be the most expensive no matter when you sign him, but he doesn't get cheaper. Someone put a thread together of, like, NFL quarterbacks as stocks. I think the comparison he made was he's Amazon. It costs a lot, and it just gets more expensive every day to own it. Like, every day you wait, the more this will go up. So, it's just got to be... You know, the sooner they get that done, I could see it happening. Now, the thing that could be the kink, the same thing as we talked about with Chris Jones, not knowing what the cap situation is going to be next year, I could see them saying, can you wait? Can you wait? The reason why we want you to wait is because we don't know what we're supposed to pay you yet. And we know that the new TV money's coming, so if you take a shorter deal, then we can just get you rich again on the other side of that. But for next year, how do we do this not knowing what the cap situation is? If you're telling us you just want 40 no matter what, then, you know, we're going to pay you 40. But I could see why it would do it. But I still think at this point, it's just saying, look, there's a lot of problems with trying to do deals like this, and I could see it being a problem. But my gut still says that they'll get the deal done.
Yeah, and for a while, the benefit of having your cap tied to a percentage, or your salary tied to the percentage of the cap, that seemed like a huge benefit for the player at the time. Now it's just there's so much unknown. Like, if that was the initial thought process with the framework of the agreement, that was something that Mahomes' side wanted in the deal, I don't think that's as beneficial, too, if you're trying to like talk about specifically inside of the contract, because we don't know if the cap's going to go. Before March, you would have said 100% the cap's going to keep going up the way it has for the last decade. $10 million on average per year, maybe even has a bigger jump next year because of the TV contract, all that. Right now, you can't count on that. We assume that the cap isn't going to be flat forever, by no means. It may be a 1 or 2 year thing. But the benefit of having your salary tied to the cap was that as the cap goes up, you know you're always going to be making 20% or 15% of the team's salary cap. That would benefit Mahomes more than it does the Chiefs. Yeah, you know the number, but Mahomes would make sure he's consistently always, no matter what, pretty much the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League under the contract. That doesn't have the same benefit right now because we have so much uncertainty about where the cap is headed.
Sure, but it would give...
Theoretically, the cap could go down. Now, they would have things in there that would say there's no way ever you could have it lower. Yeah. It can only
benefit.
But
that's the only
you.
Time it's going to happen. Pandemic is the only thing that could have possibly slowed the NFL cap down at the rate it was going.
Here we are. It's crazy.
And they're still projecting in 10 years it's going to be $300 million. So if he wants a percentage of the gap, which I can't blame him, he can still help himself by doing that. But again, that deal's never been done. And we've had multiple people like Joe Corey tell us why teams are hesitant to do that, why a player might still love it. So maybe there too.
Last minute.
Multiple people involved in the WWE have tested positive for COVID-19 this week, including at least one in-ring talent. At least three people were at the WWE Performance Center in Orlando and all tested positive. And WWE interviewer Renee Young announced on Wednesday she was among the positive tests. WWE announcer Kayla Braxton deleted her Twitter account after criticism because she announced that she tested positive for a second time on social media this week.
Wait, why is she facing criticism?
Because she tested positive the first time and then was like, oh, I'm immune to it now, and wasn't taking any precautions.
Ah, okay.
And was just being careless. And as has been reported, once you test positive for it, you can build up antibodies that can help keep you from getting it again. But those don't last forever, and once those go away, you could 100% get it again.
Yeah, there's just so much unknown. We don't know if it's months of, you know, some form of immunity, if it's years. Nobody, that's the thing. It's still so new. Nobody has the answer on what the long-term impact is going to be and just how long you're protected from it as well. But, I mean, I'm not surprised it's happening in the WWE. It's happening everywhere.
I could see why you'd probably, I mean, there's a lot of people like, well, I got it. Now I'm good.
She tested positive for it in early May.
Man.
Quarantined for 2 weeks and then apparently just started going out and living her life like normal.
That did not work out great, did it?
A month and a half later, got it again.
That sucks. Yikes. So bad.
Yikes. All right, coming up next, we head into the noon hour. We'll get to what's trending and could he be the MVP plus a chance of that Kansas Lottery $30 Summer of Silverado instant prize pack.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at CaseyLend.com.